pleasure to be here tonight. My name is Kim, as Dan said, I'm part of the staff team here. And it is my pleasure to be speaking to us tonight on the topic of giving. Now, if you've been around for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you will know that we have been having a series of vision, and you will have heard our tagline, Jesus' family of servants on mission, an awful lot. And we have been thinking about what it means to be Jesus' family, living in community together, what it means to be servants in our town here in Harrogate, and how we can live out missionally and serve our communities. And now we have come to a season of thinking about how we can give financially to back that vision. So it's a challenging time. Talking about finances is always a challenging time. But we are going to do it for 2 weeks. So I'm going to speak this week. Guy is going to speak next week. And then the follow-up. And during that time, hopefully, everyone should be able to pick up an envelope. They're currently out sort of in the far foyer area out there. And there should be an envelope with your name on, but there are some blank ones if there aren't. And in here are details of our finances as a church. There's some beautiful leaflets that we've mocked up because we want to be transparent about how we use our finances as a church, so you know where your giving is going. So you can find all that information in this pack. And also in here, after we've spoken for 2 weeks on financial giving, we are going to ask the whole church family to respond in one or two ways. This response card is about our personal commitment to the finances of our church family. And there are responses on here right from, I'm really sorry, but I can't respond financially right now. That's fine. Right through to, I'm going to sell up everything and give you everything. That's fine too. No, it's not. And we would like everyone to come prepared to bring a response on either the 24th of March or the 31st of March as we join together as a church family and say we are responding in financial giving together. And if you can't give financially, that's fine, but we want you to be a part of that corporate response. If you can give financially, then this leaflet, it would be also helpful if you can respond by filling in this leaflet. So that is in, there's this week, Guy next week, and then this response is the two following weeks. Please take one of these packets and be prayerfully thinking about your response. We're doing that at home at the minute. It's a challenging time, but it's really good. It's really good. So we are having 2 weeks on teaching about the biblical basis for financial giving. And I mean, we could just teach all year on this, but we are going to try and keep it down to three things. We are going to talk about giving, which is proportional. We are going to talk about giving, which is generous. And we are going to talk about giving, which is sacrificial. So firstly, giving, which is proportional. Don't know if you've heard this word tithe around church. Tithe means a 10% gift. And it originates right back in the Old Testament. We see it with Abraham. Abraham was the first person to tithe towards the ministry of the kingdom of God. He's just been blessed by the priest Melchizedek. And then he gives Melchizedek 10% of his possessions to bless the work of the ministry of the kingdom of God. Jacob does the same thing, and then by the time we get onto the Mosaic law, this tithe of 10% is set as a bedrock, a foundation for how the Israelites give to the ministry of the kingdom of God. But you see, this 10% is just foundational. In actual fact, in the Mosaic law for the Israelites, By the time they've added on all sorts of other offerings, guilt offerings and sin offerings, thankfulness offerings, offerings about friendship and covenant relationship, it actually tops up to way more than that. Probably almost a quarter of their possessions giving into the ministry of the kingdom of God. But you have this 10% baseline at the bottom because it's proportional. You see, 10% is proportional to what you have. When we move into the New Testament, we see the same kind of teaching coming through from Jesus. He says things like, those who have been given much, from those who have been given much, much will be required. It's proportional. It's not X amount. It's relative to how much you have. But Jesus being Jesus also says a radical new thing about giving. Of course he does. He says this. He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, i.e. obey the law of the land and pay your taxes. But give to God what is God's. Which raises this really interesting question. What is God's? How do we give to God what is God's? Well, the psalmist would say that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything is God's. So I want you to hold that at the back of your mind, that thought, as we move on. Giving is proportional. The Church of England, in 1978, the Church of England set a target for its church membership of a 5% giving, another proportional target, a target yet to be met. By most churches in the Church of England. But the principle remains the same. It's proportional. In our household, we do this. We give proportionally. We give 10% of our income, go straight out into a bank account, and 5% of that comes straight to church, and then the other 5% we use for other giving from our household. We might pay for conferences or teaching or training or other forms of giving that we want to do. But 10%, it comes into our accounts, salaries come in, 10% goes out, and it's blocked aside for giving. But it's a proportion. Okay, I think I've laboured this point enough. Giving should be generous. Giving should be generous. God gives generously to us. We know that, don't we? We know that we have been bought and redeemed at the very highest price, at the price of Jesus' own life. God gives so generously to us. And we get to respond in generosity back into the kingdom of God. And Guy is going to speak more about this, this theme of generosity next week. I'm really excited to hear what he is going to be saying. Thirdly, our giving should be sacrificial. And this is what we're going to focus in on tonight and what our passage has been thinking about. But I want to show you this image. My kids love these penny machines. I don't know if you've ever seen them. You often get them at swimming pools. Don't know why you get them at swimming pools. And you put the pennies in the top, and they swirl round and 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 round. And then eventually they drop out the bottom into the cash at the bottom, and they make a lovely tinkling noise. My girls save pennies all year to put them into a machine like this, which is at the swimming pool we go to in Devon when we're on holiday. They love it. And this is the image that I have when we read this passage from Luke about people bringing their gifts into the temple at Jerusalem. So we have this scene where Jesus is in the temple. So Jesus has come to Jerusalem. He's on his way towards the cross. And currently, he's in the temple courts daily teaching and causing havoc on some days, tipping up tables. We know all about that. But today, he's just in there teaching, and he looks up, and he sees people bringing their financial gifts. So people would have brought financial gifts. Some would have bought animals for sacrifice and then taken the sacrifice to the priest, but some would have just brought the finances and put the financial gifts straight in, and it would have looked a little bit like this, which reminds me an awful lot like my girls with their pennies in the swirly thing, because there's no way you can put your financial gift into this in a quiet way. It's a big metal trumpet with a big sound box on the bottom of it. That is going to make a lot of noise when you put your gift in there. I think it's probably designed to. It's like a big horn. And our passage says that Jesus looked up and saw the rich people putting their gifts in. And you know what I think? I think they didn't just come along with a quiet tenor and drop it in subtly. I think they came along with pound coins. And they tip them in really noisily. The reason I say that is because we have other passages, don't we, in the Gospels, where Jesus critiques people for their showy displays of spirituality. He says, don't pray on the corners with your big long words and your big complicated sentences. Go home and pray in quiet. He says, when you fast, don't cover yourself with ashes and put on sackcloth so that everyone knows that you're grieving. He says, go home and fast in quiet. And I think probably in the temple courts, there were people with their big bags of cash pouring them in really noisily for everyone to see. And that's what makes Jesus look up. He hears the sound of the rich people pouring in their cash, and he looks up and sees them. But then he also sees a poor widow who puts in two small copper coins. And everyone else there too. Because Jesus says, look at her. Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of the others. Jesus' words, if taken literally, mean not just more than the others, but more than all of the others added together. Which is clearly not true, is it? She's put in two copper coins and they put in bags and bags of cash. It's clearly not true that she's put in more than that. But this is what Jesus is trying to say. All of these rich people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all that she had to live on. You see, Jesus shows that the monetary value of the gift that we bring is not everything. There is a sense in which the widow made the biggest gift of all. Because what matters is not how much we give, but how much we keep for ourselves. What matters is not how much we give, but how much we keep for ourselves. And it's sort of the difference between giving from the top down or the bottom up. Imagine you have a jar full of money, 100% of your money. And what the rich people were doing is giving from the top down. They were looking at the Mosaic law and saying, how much have I got to give? I've got to give 10%. I'll count down 10% and I'll take that off the top and I'll give. But what the widow was doing, we're saying, this is my 100% of money, and it's not much. But I'm going to count from the bottom up. I'm going to say, what do I need? And then what is left to live on? And the passage says that everything that she has left to live on, she gives to the kingdom ministry of God's kingdom. Everything that she has left, she lives. She takes what she needs. She needs probably something for shelter and something for food. She takes what she needs, and everything that is left, she gives away to God's kingdom. You see, Jesus looks at her giving, not on what she's given, but on what she keeps back for herself. And in this sense, her giving is sacrificial. It is totally sacrificial. And the thing about sacrifice is that it's painful. You can ask those animals in the temple, sacrifice, really painful thing. It's It's really difficult. It requires us to have really difficult conversations and to ask ourselves really difficult questions. Questions like, in my 100% of money that I have and the money that I spend each week or month or year, what do I need? And actually, what is just me living on top of that? I can't answer that for you, but here are some questions. Do you need to pay your mortgage? Probably. You have a responsibility to look after your family. You have a need to pay for your grocery shopping, for your clothes. You have a need to pay for the education of your children. You have a need to educate yourself. Maybe we're getting into, things like maybe hobbies now, or holidays, or meals out, or pleasurable things. I've just become a lady who lunches this week. It was really good. Hoxton North, there are other cafes available, but it was a really good lunch dinner. These are Hoxton North. I don't need it. This is up in the top half of the jar, the things that I live on, the way I spend my money to live, but it's not what I need down at the bottom. And so, I don't know why it's done that. Dan, make that come back up. It's not what I need. And these are really difficult questions to ask because it's not about what we give down from the top. It's about what we leave back for ourselves. And only you can answer that for yourselves. So how much do you need? You know, we are instinctively sacrificial people. But we get it educated out of us as we go, oh, it's all gone wrong, Dan. Get rid of that. That's fine. There's nothing interesting on there anymore. We are naturally sacrificial people. When we have children, we naturally sacrifice for them, don't we? We naturally, don't do that either, John. Oh, Lord. I've totally lost the plot now. We know what it is to give ourselves away. We do it for our children in a really instinctive way. We do it for the people that we love, our family and our friends. We naturally learn, natural and learn, they're opposites. We naturally give away to the people who are closest to us. We make sacrifices for their benefit. But when it comes to our finances, and it comes to the kingdom of God, Satan has us wedded to our finances like this, and he makes it so hard for us to be sacrificial. Because he knows that if we keep hold of our money like this, the kingdom of God will never grow. Because, you know, we live in a world where things cost. And if we haven't got any money, that puts a real dampener on what the church can achieve for God's kingdom. And he keeps us wedded to our money like this because when we are like this, we will never be satisfied by God. Money can't satisfy us, but Satan tricks us into thinking that it can. But when we learn to give away in a way that is sacrificial, we make room in our hearts for God to satisfy us in a deep and sufficient way, in a way that finance never will be able to satisfy us. I'm not talking about getting rid of the money that we need to live. We live in a Western society right now, and that costs money. I'm not denying that. But I'm talking about the top half of the jar and how we spend that. And while ever we cling on to that, we will not learn to be dependent on God, and we will not allow God to satisfy us. When we learn to give away sacrificially. If we can come to a place where we approach financial giving from a bottom-up perspective, what do I need and then what is left? And then let's think about how much of that we can give. Rather than a top-down perspective which says, how much do I have to give? Then we will find deep satisfaction in God and in knowing that God, that Jesus has lordship over our whole lives. And that's what a disciple is, isn't it? Someone who allows Jesus to be Lord over their whole lives. So will you, this week, allow yourself to enter into a conversation with God about sacrificial giving? To ask yourself difficult questions. It won't be easy. If it's easy, probably not doing it right. You're probably not asking the right questions or answering them honestly enough. But we get to financially contribute into the ministry and the growth of the kingdom of God in our town and in our country and in our world. And we get to do that, and that really excites me. And when we get to do that and we see the kingdom growing, it fills me with joy. It fills me with joy when I hear the money that we're giving away to mission as a church. It fills me with joy when I hear the money we're giving away to run a clothes bank or to feed people at Resurrected Bites who might not be able to feed themselves. It fills me with joy to see what kingdom work can be done with the money that I have brought and the money that you have brought. We get to do it. We don't have to. You don't have to bring your form back. You don't have to give, but we get to. And when we give sacrificially, we get so much satisfaction and so much joy.